You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
A Delaware, Ohio woman has been charged with child endangerment after her 2-year-old fell into a cheetah exhibit at the Cleveland Zoo. 38-year-old Michelle Schwab will appear in court next week on the charges after she dangled her son over the railing overlooking the cheetahs. Tara Lurie, a zoo visitor, told WKYC-TV that the cheetahs seemed startled but did not attack the 2-year-old boy.
I think they were more curious about what was going on and why someone was in the pen with them.
The parents jumped in after the boy. He suffered a broken leg. Lurie's husband, Michael, says he couldn't believe what he saw.
I was just shocked. I didn't understand how... I was more curious how the parent let the kid go over the thing.
The exhibit has reopened, but the overlook area remains off limits. A woman accused of dumping her quadriplegic son in the woods to visit an out-of-state boyfriend remains hospitalized in Maryland, while Philadelphia police await her release to arrest her. Police in Montgomery County, Maryland, say Naya Parler has been hospitalized for undisclosed reasons. It was just a few hours after her 21-year-old son was found in a pile of wet leaves next to his wheelchair and a Bible. Police believe he had been there for several days. He remains hospitalized in stable condition for dehydration, malnutrition, and abrasions. The 41-year-old mother has been charged with aggravated assault, neglect, and kidnapping. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com and give us a like on Facebook. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Hi, everyone. This is Georgine Trinkel. We are live in the studio here at the Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio, and it's hot in Hunterdon on April 13th. And today we're going to be talking about poverty. So I have with me Terry Newhart, who is the Executive Director of Norwest CAP. He'll be joining us. He's here in the studio now. We're going to be talking about poverty and some exciting things that are going on at Norwest CAP. But first, want to start us out with our quote. So every week, Terry, I try to start out with a quote to set the tone for our hour. And this Monday, we have a quote by Immanuel Kant, who is actually a sociologist, has done a lot of research on poverty. And his quote today is, "We are not rich by what we can possess, but by what we can do without." So I think, it's a great quote to start out with, because often in poverty, we think we're talking about financial resources and we forget about all of the other resources around poverty. So we're going to go to a quick commercial and then the weather, and then we'll be back with Terry.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Okay, and we're back here at Hot in Hunterdon, and I'm your host, Georgine Trinkel, and I bring you beautiful weather today. If you walk outside today, it's absolutely beautiful, and we finally have a perfect day. Tonight, though, we are looking at some showers, mainly after 4 a.m., but it's going to stay quite warm this afternoon and evening with a low around 51. Tomorrow, I do have to say we have showers coming with a high near 64, so that's not too bad. It's definitely going to rain, even according to the weather people, because the chance of precipitation is about 90%. Tuesday night, a little bit chillier with a low around 39, but Wednesday, we have another perfect day with a high near 68. So that's pretty good. So Terry, welcome to Hot and Hunterdon and to the Hunterdon County Internet Chamber Radio Station. I understand this is your first time here.
It is my first time. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely, Terry. Can you tell everyone what you do and where you work?
Sure. So I am the executive director of NorWestCap, which is a nonprofit organization serving about six counties in northwest New Jersey, including Hunterdon County. And I've been there since 1980. Thought I'd do it for a few years and move on. But the outcome of the work and the people that I work with keeps me there and keeps me happy every day.
Well, I guess it's more than a few years that you stayed.
Yeah, it's. I love the place. I always say I have three core values: be a great dad, make a difference, and have fun. And being in that job has allowed me to do that for 30-some years.
Okay, and I guess we should tell our listeners that I also work for NorWestCap as deputy director, so I get to interact with you every day.
And that's the real reason I've stayed.
Well, I don't blame you, Terry. It's a good reason. I don't know if it's making it into the core values, but it's certainly a good reason. But we work really hard at NorWestCap, and I was really excited to get you to come on around this time, and I hope you'll come back again because you've been working on a really exciting anniversary for NorWestCap.
Yeah, it is our 50th anniversary. NorWestCap came out of the Johnson's Great Society War on Poverty, which was, I always like to tell the story that literally the evening after Kennedy had been assassinated, Lyndon Johnson, 6'4", 240 pounds, gave the work over to a few people. including Bill Moyers and Jack Valente, and the Johnsons and the Kennedys weren't known to love each other, but Johnson did want to continue some of the Kennedy legacy, and they worked off this thing called the Gray Project, which was a study done by the Ford Foundation in the 50s looking at African-American poverty in the United States. Today, there's lots of people who claim to be experts, but back then, there weren't a lot of experts in poverty, so we really came out of that. In fact, a Hunterdon tie into all that is Lady Bird Johnson came here and opened up the first Head Start site in Lambertville. We tried to get her back for the 25th anniversary, but she only left the farm for the Audubon Society, and that was it, so we couldn't get her here.
So you actually didn't make the cut for Lady Bird Johnson.
No, you know, begged and pleaded and acted pathetic. But just a quick fun little story. So I met their daughter, one of their daughters, years ago, and she said that her father's favorite job was actually after he was president, and he volunteered to be a daily school bus driver for the Head Start site down in Texas. So
that's a very cool story. A lot of history there. And there's some people who think who would you say is like the father of poverty? The actual like spokesperson.
You know, I would say the original person was Sarge Shriver, probably one of our heroes. In fact, when Johnson wanted him to be in charge of what was called the Office of Economic Opportunity, OEO, which was a whole federal department, he called him up one Saturday. And at that time, Shriver was working for Peace Corps, and he absolutely loved the job. And so Johnson called and said, "Hey, I'm going to announce this OEO thing. I want you to be in charge." He said, "Well, I love my job. Don't want to do it." So he hung up. This went back and forth about four times. Finally, Johnson called and said, "I'm going on the air in 5 minutes. I'm going to announce that you're going to be in charge of OEO. Goodbye." And so that was
it. He
hung up. So Sarge Shriver got to be in charge of OEO, but he landed up being, you know, he loved the job and represented it well.
And so when you think about the great people who put poverty in the minds of the American people in that time, those are the people that you think of as the heroes.
Yeah, certainly Sarge Shriver. But Johnson, you know, I think people overlook Johnson, but he was probably the most prolific legislator in our time, in our lifetime. He passed so many different bills that really helped so many different people. So, yeah, I'd say Sarge Shriver is certainly at the pinnacle of that.
And actually, I have an excerpt from the State of the Union in 1964 from Lyndon B. Johnson. And so many of what he said in his speech is still true today. When he was talking about poverty, he talked about how it was a national problem. But then he talked about, for the war against poverty, we will not be won here in Washington. It must be won in the field, in every private home, and every public office, from the courthouse to the White House.
Yeah, and he established 1,800 agencies like NorWestCAP. NorWestCAP stands for Northwest New Jersey Community Action Program. And there were about 1,800 back then. Now there's about 1,000 across the country, one in at least every county in the United States. And some cities have their own. In New Jersey, there's about 23 that are still around. And he started the war on poverty, introduced it in the January speech. April, he introduced the legislation. In August, it passed. So nothing goes that quickly today, but it did back then. And he really got community action started across the country. But then, you know, there were a lot of riots during that time, and he felt that community action was responsible, even though we weren't. And so, the Vietnam War really took his attention, and he kind of diverted his attention away from the war on poverty to the war on Vietnam, and kind of lost attention to community action.
He did at least understand that it had to be an unconditional war. It had to, you know, include education. It had to include health care, preschool. All of those smaller pieces all had to be included, and they had to be comprehensive, and they had to be coordinated.
Absolutely. He understood that. You know, when you declare a war, which can be a lot of rhetoric sometimes, it assumes you're going to put all your resources towards that. And, of course, a lot of the resources were diverted to the Vietnam War, and I think that's one of the places we got off track.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but before we do, can you let people know how to find out a little bit more about NorWestCAP?
Sure. The easiest thing to do is go to our website, which is www.norwestcap, and that people always spell it wrong, so I'll do it for you, NorWestCAP.org. And you can find out all kind of things. You can even see Georgine's picture on the website.
Oh, dear. That may not be a good reason to drive. What we try to do here is drive people to the website, drive them away.
Sorry.
And NorWestCAP has a Facebook page as well.
Absolutely. Please join us on Facebook. We have almost 600 likes now, so we're trying to kick that up as we enter our 50th anniversary.
Fantastic. And if they wanted to reach the administrative office by telephone?
Okay. The main office number, and we have about 27 locations around the counties, but the main office number is 908-454-7000, and you can reach Georgine or myself at extension 110.
Excellent. Okay. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, Terry and I will be talking a little bit more about poverty and some of the great work of NorWestCAP. So stay with us here at Hot and Hunterdon.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Great, and we're back in the studio. My name is Georgine Trinkle, and I'm your host here at Hot and Hunterdon. And I have with me today Terry Newhard, who is the executive director of NorWestCAP and was giving out the internet website. If anyone wanted to find out a little bit more about NorWestCAP, they can do so at
www.norwestcap, that's NorWestCAP.org.
Excellent. And the reason Terry's here today is to talk a little bit about a very special year for NorWestCAP and for community action in general. We're just talking a little bit about the history. And that history is really important this year, isn't it, Terry?
It sure is for us in particular. In fact, we're going to have, each month, NorWestCAP has many programs under its umbrella. And each month we're featuring a different program and different events, but it'll culminate for us. We're going to bury a time capsule on July 20th, which will be the actual 50th anniversary. But it's something that everybody could get involved in if they choose to is our 50th anniversary gala, which will be held at Fiddler's Elbow, which is a very convenient site for folks in Hunterdon. And that'll be on September 17th in the evening. We're working on some special guests, which I can't talk about right now. We're hoping to hit a home run with those. But so September 17th, we'd love to see you there. There's certainly, like any nonprofit, there's lots of sponsorship opportunities, which we'd be glad to talk about. But most of all, we'd like you to just embrace what we're doing in the community. And if you can celebrate with us, that'd be great.
So maybe when you have your special guests ready to be announced, you can announce them here at Hot and Hunterdon.
That'd be great.
Well, we were talking a little bit about the history and 50 years of serving the community and on the war on poverty is certainly instrumental in having a better community. What are some of the things you think are great programs about, the war on poverty that have carried over?
Yeah, a lot of things came out of that 1964 legislation, certainly community action, Head Start, legal services, AmeriCorps, all those types of community service things that were there then are still here today. The world of community action has changed dramatically, I think, over the years. But two things that remain since 1964. One is to remove the barriers that to self-sufficiency. The other is our board makeup, which is kind of an interesting makeup, different than most nonprofits. It's called a tripartite board. One-third are elected officials or their representatives, and the Hunterdon freeholders provide a representative to us. Another third are low-income individuals, because in order to plan well for the community and the services that we deliver, we need low-income people to help us plan that. And then the other third is everybody else, which is...
That's a pretty wide net, Terry.
It is, but, so there's people from education, from health, clergy, business, a wide range of folks. So you got a real melting pot there, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, because you have people, kind of different mental models in terms of culture and those kind of things. But all in all, I think it provides for a good board for planning for the community.
Now, you are looking for two board members right now. You currently have two open positions.
We do. One is in Sussex, which may not be heard from here, but we do have folks in Somerset. We have an opening in Somerset County. So we're looking for folks that we meet every other month on the third Wednesday. So it's January, March, May, July, September, November.
He's looking at a calendar, everyone.
it's in my brain. And our board is a little different, too. We go into what's called the Carver governance process, and it's much different than other nonprofit boards. But it really engages the board in the future of the organization. They don't focus on how many pencils we buy and how many bought and who bought them. It focuses on what services are needed in the community, who do we deliver them to, at what cost, and how are we most efficient at doing that.
And one of the big pieces of being a community action agency is the low-income participation. And you can certainly go over the one-third percent of the board. So if there's anyone who's been impacted by poverty and wants to be more involved, this would be a good opportunity, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because those are the folks who live it every day. You know, we can plan just like Washington, D.C. plans in a vacuum, and Trenton often plans in a vacuum. We don't want to be planning in a vacuum as an organization. If I always say, if you could let me blow up Norwest Cap and start all over, I think we could really eliminate poverty in our area. The way the funding comes in, it's all so siloed, and it's not really well thought out on how to coordinate it. Norwest Cap has some programs that really get people towards that end. I always say we have three types of programs. We have emergency programs, things like food and emergency assistance for energy and some homeless services. And people say, you should really just focus on self-sufficiency. Well, if you're hungry and you don't have a place to sleep, you're never going to become self-sufficient anyway. So we have those basic emergency services. And then we have a whole set of preventative programs. So how do we save people money? How do we put them in a better situation so they can move towards self-sufficiency? And we have things like a cancer education and screening program. We weatherize homes, and each house that we weatherize saves about 40% in energy costs. So we have those kind of preventative programs. And then we do have the self-sufficiency programs. Like we have a program called the Individual Development Account, which is a match savings account, One thing I always like to tell about people about that program is the first 150 graduates from that match savings account have purchased about $8.5 million worth of assets. And you think of the people that are saving. This is the amazing part. Most of these folks, the average NORESCAP family makes about $15,000, but most of the folks are in a $20,000 range. So how do you save and purchase assets in that range? It's just incredible to me. So we have programs like that that are really moving people towards that self-sufficiency vision that we have.
And we actually, through statistical research, we can actually demonstrate that low-income participants in our program save at a rate that is 2 to 3 times greater than individuals in other income brackets.
Yeah. It's incredible to me because I know people that make a lot more money than that and aren't saving like that. And a related program, which is also pretty cool, is we have what's called the Family Loan Program, which provides low-interest loans from $500 to $3,000. And our repayment rate was about 100% last year, but it's down to 94, 95% this year. Somebody lost a job, but banks would love to have that kind of repayment rate. And the loans are actually with the bank, so people are improving their credit score and becoming bankable along the way.
There's a lot of opportunities at NORESCAP to collaborate with other groups like the banks, financial institutions. When you came in, we were just chatting with Chris Phelan, the executive director here at the Hunterdon Chamber, and talking about ways to NORESCAP and the Chamber can work together. I know they're having Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th. So, I mean, I think that's the key to NORESCAP is all of the collaborations and partnerships and working with so many different groups. It's really a privilege to be able to work with industry, economic industry. And
yeah, as much as all of us like to think we do it all, we don't. And in fact, 2 years ago, we changed the P in NORESCAP from program to partnership.
I was a little nervous there for a moment, Terry, when you're talking about P on my radio show.
I wouldn't go down that road. Maybe in the office. But we changed it to partnership, and we realized that we do certain things well, but we don't do it all. And the goal of NORESCAP is to not only provide services, but to link people to the other agencies and to other organizations that pick up all the pieces. So if we're really serious, dead serious about moving people out of poverty, we need everybody at the table because NORESCAP can't do it all. And we talk to people all the time, and we have so many relationships in the community, but that's still poverty's still here, so we need to get more relationships.
And is there any key thing that you think is missing at NORESCAP?
If I could wave my magic wand, yeah, there. I'd like to see us do more youth programs because I think that's a missing piece. We get kids up to age 5 and then probably after age 18 to the time they pass away. We need to get that there. We have some, and Georgine's really led the charge on this, more community engagement programs. She won't toot her own horn here, but I'll toot it for her. She's done an amazing job in the town of Hillsborough and with the police department. So we need more community-type programs like that where we're engaging those pieces. So, there's a lot of other things I'd like to do, but those two, I think, are kind of missing pieces. And the other piece is around employment. But once again, we're not really the trainers. There are people out there that do great training, so we really need to link up much better than we have in the past, I think, with the one-stops and the WIBs, the technical schools and the colleges, to make sure that our folks get that training so they can move out. But the biggest missing link in poverty is living wage jobs. We can train people till the cows come home. We can give them all the services that are available to them. But if there aren't living wage jobs, they're going to stay in poverty.
That's obviously, the employment piece, if we could solve that, one piece. And I think also being able to serve people who actually need the resource because of eligibility and guidelines.
Yeah, we have it's silly at NORESCAP, and it's not NORESCAP's fault, but really the government's fault. We actually deal with 13 different sets of income guidelines, which is crazy. They're all based off of what's called the federal poverty threshold, which I always tell people was developed in 1962 by a nutritionist when food was a third of your expenses. Now it's about a seventh. And we use that same threshold today as we did in 1962. It's been adjusted, but and it's the same in New Jersey as it is in Mississippi, as it is in South Dakota. So it doesn't take into account the regional differences. And if you look at the cost of housing in New Jersey, obviously much different than the cost of housing in Mississippi. So it's not a very effective threshold, but it's the one we use. And then we have 13 multiples of that, depending on the program. So it's just insane.
So for the listeners who think, if you don't have enough food, you could just go and get some food stamps or a food, from a food pantry. It's really not that easy.
It's not that easy. It's a crazy system the way it's set up you know, nationally and at a state level. So you may be eligible for something and not for others, and people get very frustrated when they have to do that. And they go from agency to agency, and that's the other big thing. If I could change one thing, we'd have a single intake site for all programs, because people, you know, people, we always talk about the tyranny of the moment, people that are struggling with all these things, you know, cutoff notices and eviction notices, all these things. It's hard to think about the future when all this stuff is in your face. So on top of that, you have to spend what I call agency time, where you're going to Northwest Catholic, Catholic Charities, and this group and that group. And that. How can you focus on doing anything when you have to go and fill out a different application for every program? It's just insane.
And it's difficult if you're trying to work, or if you have children, or if you're a single father or a single mother.
Yeah.
There's a lot of red tape that you can easily get wrapped around without getting the service that you need.
I'm amazed people get services that they do get.
But not at Northwest Cap. We're talking about the broader social service system. So you really can get caught up in the red tape. So we're just taking a little bit of a look back here at poverty and the history of Northwest Cap. We like to go a little bit deeper here at Houghton Hunterdon and you know, really look at the issues. So appreciate you being here, Terry, and sharing your thoughts. And I know one thing we do want to get across is a big event going on at Northwest Cap.
The 50th anniversary?
That's the one. The one on September 17th.
Thanks for reminding us. We do. And once again, we are looking for sponsors and attendees. So,
excellent. Excellent. We're going to take a short break for the news, which I love the news here. You'll have an opportunity to listen to it, Terry, if you don't listen to the station on a regular basis, which I hope you do every week. But they have the best news here. So we're going to turn to the news. Then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the 50th anniversary celebration, even if we can't get you to spill your guts about the possible entertainment. But we could talk a little bit about the day and how people can get involved and continue to talk about why poverty is in the community, why after 50 years it is still in existence, and perhaps it's even worse than it was 50 years ago. So we'll appreciate your thoughts on that when we come back.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. A third senator is jumping into the race for the Republican presidential nomination, AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
First-term Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, the son of Cuban immigrants, will make his announcement at Freedom Tower in Miami, a historic landmark that was the first stop for thousands of people who fled Cuba. In a video ahead of his announcement, he stressed the country needs to change course to benefit future generations.
If we stay on this road that this administration and that this Congress has us on, then they will be part of the first generation of Americans to inherit from their parents a diminished country.
Rubio joined Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul in the growing GOP field. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
An employee at Wayne County Community College in Goldsboro, North Carolina, is dead after he was shot on campus today. Now the school is on lockdown and the gunman is on the run. Officials say the men knew each other but have not released a motive. This is USA Headline News.
Did you know that by losing just 10 pounds, you could reduce your risk of heart disease, diabetes, and arthritis by a whopping 50%? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby from IlikeHowILook.com. I have found something that could help you lose 10 to 15 pounds in the next 30 days without starving yourself or exercising to exhaustion. Just go to ilikehowilook.com and watch the short video. ilikehowilook.com uses hydrolyzed collagen protein to help you lose weight and tone up. They also have a thermogenic capsule that could curb your appetite, improve your mood, give you more energy, and the best part is that it burns fat like a blowtorch. I introduced this to some of my friends a few months ago. Within just a couple of weeks, most were losing weight and dropping dress and pant sizes faster than they could buy new clothes. So watch the video at ilikehowilook.com, and maybe soon you'll be saying, I like how I look.
Nashville's major newspaper is being accused of bias in a story about last week's NRA convention. More from USA senior correspondent Jason Wirt.
The Tennessean newspaper is being accused of dirty journalism after running an article that attempted to link sex trafficking to the National Rifle Association convention. Tim Graham of the Media Research Center tells USA Radio News the article shows bias by the newspaper against the NRA.
I think it reads like a low blow. I think it reads like a case of bias when you could say say that about the Music City Bowl, which is sort of mentioned in the story. Any event where a large number of people come from out of town, you could try to say it's going to be a hub of sex trafficking.
The article also mentioned accusations of trafficking at Republican conventions, but nothing about Democratic conventions. I'm Jason Wirt.
Stocks move slightly higher in midday trading as investors look ahead to a busy week for corporate earnings. JetBlue surged 6% after the airline reported a big increase in passengers last month. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Russia has lifted its ban on the delivery of a sophisticated air defense missile system to Iran. They signed the contract in 2007, but later suspended the delivery because of strong objections from the United States and Israel. Pentagon spokesman Colonel Steve Warren says the U.S. still objects.
Our opposition to this sale has long been public. We believe it's unhelpful.
Russia claims the recent negotiations with Iran have cleared the way for the delivery. Jody Arias has been sentenced to life in prison with no parole by a Phoenix judge. The 34-year-old was found guilty of murdering her former boyfriend, Travis Alexander, in 2008 by stabbing him multiple times and shooting him. Sister of the victim, Hillary Wilcox, says the trial was painful.
I don't want to remember him anymore. Because it hurts too much to remember him alive. Because if I remember him, I remember how he was brutally taken from us.
The jury deadlocked on whether to give Arias the death penalty, which removed it as an option. Jurors deciding on whether to convict former New England Patriots player Aaron Hernandez of murder are back at work for a fifth day of deliberations. The 12 jurors spent nearly 20 hours last week deliberating. Hernandez is charged with the 2013 killing of Odin Lloyd. His lawyers have questioned why he would put his career on the line to kill someone. Prosecutors claim he thought no one would believe he did it. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And we're back here at Hot and Hunterdon, and I'm Georgine Trinkle, your host, and I have with me today Terry Newhard, who's the Executive Director of NorwestCAP.
Good to be here.
Thanks for coming, Terry, and for talking about poverty, taking a look back at the history of community action, because on September 17th, NorwestCAP is celebrating a very exciting milestone.
50 years serving the community. Yeah, it's pretty amazing that we've been here that long, and we've changed quite a bit over the years, but, you know, we've never had a gala before. We kind of do it, everything we do kind of quietly, where most nonprofits do have galas, which I think maybe we should have started before. But it'll be our first time in 50 years that we're actually going to pat ourselves on the back and try to raise the awareness of NorwestCAP in the community.
And what would we be doing at the gala?
That's a good question.
I'm trying to get Terry to spill his secrets about maybe a possible thing going on at the gala, but he's being very close-mouthed about that. But there are some exciting things that are going on. It's an evening celebration, and you do have a few things that have been confirmed.
Yeah, we are having a live and silent auction. We have some great items that will be coming up, and hopefully we'll do it online at the same time. And we have, I think we almost had a confirmation for one speaker today, and another one that would be really great. In fact, we'd have to get a stadium if we got the other speaker. So, but I can't talk about that now.
Okay, well, we won't talk about that, but we can talk about where the event is going to be held.
It's at Fiddler's Elbow, right in the Lamington exit. You know, everybody sees it when they drive by on 78. And a beautiful facility. The people have been really helpful there in terms of working things out. And they just renovated the dining area, so it's going to be a super event.
So the way people could get involved is they could donate auction items.
Yeah, they could certainly donate auction items, and it could be as simple as something that's small or to something. And if you think about people who own a place at the shore who'd be willing to donate a week at their rental house, or, you know, if you're a car dealer, maybe leasing a car for a year for free. So all these are tax deductible. So, you know, if you want to get involved that way, that'd be great. There's also sponsorship opportunities, just like any gala, you know, in terms of platinum and gold and all those different colors that they talk about. And there's ad journal pieces that, that people could get involved in, not quite as expensive, and certainly tickets to the event. Sometime, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, on our website, you'll be able to come to the homepage and go to the page just about the 50th anniversary to learn more.
Now, is this a business casual, or if you're a kilt wearer, you wear your kilt?
Maybe I'll wear one of my kilts, but no, it's a business attire, suit and tie.
So,
but not black tie, fair enough.
Okay, I think that's important to differentiate, because we've had other guests on that have had black tie events, and other people have done more casual galas to kind of get the working people on their way home. So this is a sit-down dinner?
It's a sit-down dinner, yeah, that we'll have a cocktail hour and we have music and those kind of things. It's September 17th, which is a Thursday. We decided not to have it on a weekend. We wanted to get people in and out, because I know people come to these events and say, when am I going to go home? So we thought if we got people on the way home from work, we'd get them out there in a reasonable time. But, you know, a Thursday night in September should be beautiful. If you've ever been to Fiddler's Elbow, they have a beautiful golf course. It's right out the back, so, and there's a big awning. So we'll be outside whether it's raining or not. Not for the dinner, but for the cocktail hour.
Well, that sounds fun. Now, I know my listeners are going to want to know, who have attended the Food Bank's culinary event and their Red Bow Basket Extravaganza. Will we be lucky enough to have the designers of the baskets doing the
same
gala?
Baskets. Yeah.
Okay, because everyone looks forward to the Food Bank's culinary event, which is also in September.
It'll be November this year.
Okay. Yes. And they... The volunteers and the staff, Janet and Kate, do an amazing job with the baskets. Everyone looks forward to that. So you've been able to get confirmation from Helene that we'll have pretty baskets.
Absolutely. And another event that's the week after, actually, the Fiddler's Elbow event is our Wine and Music Festival, which will be held in Alamuchi. So we'll have another kind of 50th event right after that.
Oh, that's exciting. And you had mentioned earlier that each month you have a program that's highlighted and focused on different activities to celebrate our 50th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this month is our Family Success Center, which is in Phillipsburg, but they also have an extension of their program here with the TIP program, which is for healthy babies. And so their focus this month, they have, I think, maybe 15 events, much more than I could do in a month. But so that's the kind of thing each month that each program does something different. Next month, it is the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program. So we'll be focusing on volunteers, because May is Volunteer Month. And NorwestCAP itself has about 1,200 volunteers that work throughout the agency in all kinds of different programs. And the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program has about 800 volunteers that they match up in the community and other nonprofits.
And our listeners have had, Mike Ferguson has been on from the RSVP Volunteer Resource Center, talk about volunteer opportunities. So if anyone was listening earlier, we were talking about the board openings at Norwest CAP, and they think, oh, you know what, I'd love to volunteer and get involved in the community, but the Carver process or being a board member, you know, more a person working in the trenches, they can call our RSVP Volunteer Resource Center, and they can find out or even go online and look at all the job descriptions that we have in many counties.
Yeah, if you go online to the website, www.norwestcap.org, there's a tab there that says how to get involved. There's all volunteer opportunities. Just a quick aside, and I know Wednesday is tax day, but and our volunteers will be very happy when it's over, but this year we've done almost 5,000 tax returns, volunteer tax returns, in the community, which has saved people lots and lots of money if they had to pay to have those tax returns done. So, and they're working to get what's called the Earned Income Tax Credit. If you're not familiar with it, you can, depending on how much you make and how many children you have, you can get up to almost $5,500 back. But the average return is around $1,600-$1,700.
And can you give everyone the alphabet soup of that program?
In Earned Income Tax Credit, EITC, yep. And VITA is the other term, is Volunteers and Tax Assistance. So they do an amazing job working with folks who need that help. So hopefully we're going to expand it even more next year.
That sounds exciting. And I know for our listeners, as a reminder, April 15th, which is Wednesday, get the taxes signed, write the checks, apply for the refunds, the earned income tax credit if you're eligible. And if all else fails, do file an extension.
Just as a quick thing for the business community listening to the Chamber Radio, we did a study a few years ago, and we looked at the number of people who filed a tax return and were eligible for the EITC but didn't ask for it. had they asked for it, and they were eligible for it, it would have brought in another $275 million into the community. What a poverty program that is, right?
Absolutely.
But people, only about 11% of the people who file and are eligible actually ask for the EITC.
And why is that?
Lack of knowledge, I think. A lack of promotion of the program. You know, as much as we're out there, you know, banging the drums, trying to let people know, most people just aren't aware. And I think it'd be a great thing for employers to get involved in, because it's really a benefit for their lower wage employees, to a benefit that they wouldn't have to pay for. All they have to do is really make them aware of it.
And it's great for the economy as well.
Puts great for the economy.
Money back locally, and helps people who are in poverty with some unbudgeted extra income.
Absolutely. And the money, as you said, goes right back into the local economy. As I always say, low-income people don't take their money and then send it to Switzerland or to Jamaica. It goes right back into the local community. They don't have those foreign bank accounts. They spend it right where they live, whether it's on food or utility or landlord or fixing their car or paying their bills.
It always cracks me up that when we need to stimulate the economy, Washington and the elected officials are always trying to find a way to put more money in food stamps, and they rely on individuals that are in poverty to stimulate the economy.
It's spent locally. I think you'll see in 2016, I think poverty will make it to the discussion point. Even though I don't think he's running, Paul Ryan, who is a former, you know, vice presidential candidate, really has taken poverty as an issue that he's really interested in, and really has some creative ideas. So I think we're going to hear a little bit more about poverty in 2016.
You know, I just read something from an elected official in D.C., a federal elected official, and it said something like, paraphrasing, you know, I'm not sure if it's the cherry blossoms in D.C., if it's the air, if it's the internal environments, but something happens that you forget everything from back home when you get here.
I do think they forget.
They do forget. And that's why you need Norwest Cap and advocates and strong family advocates, along with our partners in the business community, to remind people that poverty is not acceptable. We may have had poverty for 50 years, and it may be worse now than it was 50 years ago, but we're still speaking up and against it, and hoping that there are some domestic programs and international programs that can help us to end poverty.
Yeah, and you've heard me say this before, but, you know, we don't say a little bit of racism is okay or a little bit of cancer is okay. We shouldn't say a little bit of poverty is okay. You know, we see about 35,000 people in a year, and most of those folks are working folks, and they're working at least two jobs, two part-time jobs, and they're making $8 or $9 an hour. So we really need to support those. They wake up in the morning, and they want, like everybody else, at the end of the day, they'd like to have a little extra money, so when their kid goes to a birthday party, they're not embarrassed by not sending a present along. You know, they don't need to be rich. They just want to have a little extra at the end of the day. And those are the folks we're out here supporting every day.
Okay. Well, 50 years is doing some hard work to help end poverty, and we appreciate your efforts, Terry. We're going to take a small break here at Hot and Hunterdon, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about some more plans for the 50th anniversary and what some of the other programs are doing throughout the year. Stay with us.
Hi. I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down. Falling down, falling down, London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to forwardnewjersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Hi, everyone, and we're back here at Hot and Hunterdon. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and I'm joined with Terry Newhart, the Executive Director of Norwest Cap, and today is April 13th, and we've been talking about poverty and some of the individuals that have been able to access services in Norwest Cap, and I think people would like to know about is there a typical client at Norwest Cap?
Well, first, let me say I'm not going to take any bridges when I drive home after that commercial.
That's my favorite commercial. Isn't it fantastic?
It's very effective. So is there a typical person or a typical family? No, I always say poverty is messy. If there was one easy cure, we would have solved it by now. There's no one pill you can take that'll get you out of it. It ranges from someone an individual who's homeless and has no place to stay and is couch surfing or living, by the river, those kind of things, up to, families who are struggling because they don't make enough. They're working two or three part-time jobs and don't have health insurance, trying to make a go of it with their families. And then we have the seniors, too, that are living on fixed income. So, there's so many different types of folks. And most people measure poverty by money, and you kind of alluded to this before. Poverty isn't just money, although we use a federal threshold to determine it. It's many other things. When we look at poverty at Norwest Cap, we look at money, certainly that's a piece, but it's many other things. Do they have the mental capacities to do math and English? Do they have relationships? There's two types of poverty. There's generational poverty, where it's been generation to generation, then there's situational poverty. So, in generational poverty, if you don't have relationships outside of poverty, not likely you're going to get out. So we look at those relationships. We look at their motivation and persistence. We look at their health. So there's all kinds of things to look at in terms of whether somebody's in poverty or not.
And with the 50th year anniversary of Norwest Cap this year and the gala coming up on September 17th, why do you think it's important to make sure that Norwest Cap has more of a limelight this year?
It's not so much about Norwest Cap from an ego point of view, not that we don't want to get the word out. It's really about the people that we serve, because when people in poverty are strong and move out of poverty, the whole community is strong. So for me, if it means Norwest Cap getting attention, in the end, it serves clients, that's all I really care about. At the end of the day, I want to see poverty eliminated in Northwest New Jersey, and I want to hopefully have Norwest Cap play some kind of role in that. But it's really about making people aware. Most people in our area, I've talked to so many people over the years, at chamber dinners and, Kiwanis clubs and just on the community and at different meetings, have no concept that there's poverty in Northwest New Jersey. They just have no idea that it exists. And I talked to actually somebody from Clinton the other day that said, there's not poor people in my community. I think people have this perception that it's an urban issue and not a suburban issue. And in fact, being in a rural kind of suburban area like this, it's even harder because you don't have the transportation to get where you want to go, and things are so spread out, and it's harder to get to a job, harder to get to a doctor. So, poverty in a rural area or a suburban area is, I think, just as difficult, if not more difficult, than in an urban area. So we need to raise the consciousness of Northwest New Jersey to say, look, the folks who are pumping your gas, the people who are watching your kids at daycare, the people that are serving you in the restaurant, people that are checking you out at ShopRite, they're just, and I'm not picking on ShopRite because I love ShopRite. I didn't want to say that. But anyway, those are all folks who need some kind of support. And those people may be right on the edge. They may not be at the below that 100% poverty level, but they need some kind of support. And that's why Norwest Cap and other great agencies in the community are here to help. And we have great supporters like ShopRite. Let me just say that ShopRite is one of our best supporters in the community. We love them.
Terry, I know you meant to say grocery store, and because you shop at ShopRite, it came out ShopRite, so we'll just clarify that
Thank
right
you,
away.
I love Joe Colalillo and the folks at Wakeford and ShopRite.
So just to clarify, obviously when we do labor research, grocery stores, often big box stores as well, come in as wages that are below, or there's a lot of part-time employees. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the things that drives poverty. If you're not working enough hours, your income is lower, and your expenses are the same. So that sometimes is a problem.
Yeah, people say, well, if they just get a job, they'd get out of poverty. Well, if you work full-time at the minimum wage, you're making just a little over $17,000. And remember that poverty threshold for a family of four is $22,240. So working full-time still doesn't get you there.
It doesn't get you there. And what you said earlier about the calculations on poverty, to have the same figure to determine poverty in New Jersey versus Alabama is absurd. Why is this acceptable?
I have no idea, other than it's easy for the government.
They were able to change it for Hawaii, so why can't every state have a different poverty figure?
Yeah, Alaska and Hawaii have a different figure. It's only about $300 higher, which still doesn't make up for the cost of living in Hawaii or Alaska either. In New Jersey, we really talk about 200% of poverty as being the real poverty rate here because of the cost of living. You know, and a two-bedroom fair market rental here in Hunterdon County is just about $1,300. So if you're making, minimum wage or close to it, we figured out it would take 100, there's 168 hours a week, it would take about 158 hours in a week to pay just for that apartment.
Working 158 hours when there's only 168 hours in the total week.
So in the total week, so how do you fall asleep? So
it's an impossible equation. It cannot be done. And yet we haven't made any progress on moving some of the legislation that we need to change the poverty guidelines and the thresholds and how we calculate poverty. You know, something as basic as the definition of poverty, we can't change it.
Yeah, we can. And we have this disjointed system where they'll, and I always say this is one of my most frustrating things about government in terms of funding. And we need their money, so I'm not giving them a hard time either.
But let's just get you in trouble today, not me. It's usually me.
Once again, I love Shepard. But I always say, you know, the government wants to fund 1,000 one-foot wells versus one well 1,000 feet deep. You know, if we really want to move people out of poverty, we're going to have to do it on a smaller scale because it you just don't jump out of poverty. You don't give somebody something, give them some money and hope that it works. It doesn't. It's a much longer process. It's a, you know, 18 to 24 month process to get there. People want numbers. You know, funding sources want the big numbers. But that doesn't mean people are getting out of poverty. That's a smaller number if you want to be effective.
And when we talk about numbers and outcomes at Norwest Cap, we've been working on some return on investments and trying to demonstrate to people how much more of an investment when they invest in Norwest Cap goes out into the community and is really a powerful thing. And even in Lyndon B. Johnson's January inauguration speech, he talked about this and he said, it will not be a short or easy struggle. No single weapon or strategy will suffice. But we shall not rest until that war is won. Of course, he's talking about the war in poverty. And he said, $1,000 invested in salvaging an unemployable youth today can return $40,000 or more in his lifetime. And at Norwest Cap, you actually have a figuratory of how much money goes into direct service if someone were to donate money.
Yeah, we a couple of things. One, to answer that question first, most nonprofits, if you look at their audits, are in the 15 to 20 cent range in terms of administrative costs. Norwest Cap is only about 5 cents on the dollar, which is pretty amazing. That's good news and bad news for us. We like a bigger infrastructure. But to answer your other piece about outcomes, so every one of our program has outcomes, and outcomes are the change in the conditions or behaviors for the people that we work with. And so we kind of have a return on investment for all of our programs. And just to give you one example, so our WIC program, which is Women, Infant, and Children Supplemental Food Program, for every dollar we spend in WIC, it's been proven that they save $7.50 in Medicaid costs. So those kinds of returns on investments make sense in terms of the programs that we provide the community.
And he talked about it in 1965, and it's still true today, when we invest money in people that are in poverty to give them education, to help provide them with tools and resources, we invest in our future, and it has a positive impact.
Yeah, there's been some longitudinal studies on Head Start, for instance, and Head Start's been around the same amount of time right. as we have. And they say for every dollar that you invest in a Head Start child, you save $8 down the road in terms of other costs that are saved. So, you know, those kinds of things, that's a longitudinal, which is hard to look at. But, you know, we have the short-term studies, too, in terms of money saved for each of the programs.
So first, we have to make people aware that poverty is in every community, unfortunately, and it's not acceptable. And then we have to be able to celebrate, while we haven't won the war on poverty yet, we do have to celebrate the milestones like Norwest Cap's 50th anniversary. And we have to give tribute to an organization that for 50 years has navigated very difficult storms in both a political climate and in, you know, difficult economic conditions, and has continued to grow and to provide an investment back to the community and for all of the community. We don't just serve or have an impact on low-income people, but we have an impact on making the whole community stronger and partnering with people. So I hope people, Terry, come out on September 17th. And if you could give the contact information, again, you are looking for sponsors, you're looking for people to take ad journals, and soon you'll have the website where people can purchase tickets and get involved in helping this to be a really great milestone celebration.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We hope the community is engaged. Once again, you can call us at 908-454-7000, extension 110, or you can go to the website www.norwestcap.org.
Great. Do you have any closing thoughts for today?
I appreciate the opportunity. One of my key jobs is to let the community know that there is poverty that's out there, and it's not the poverty that people perceive, I think, in the urban area. It's a different kind of poverty, and we have it here. And when your neighbors are strong, your community is strong. So we encourage you to get engaged, either to give, advocate, or volunteer.
And the board openings, once again, that you have currently?
One in Somerset and one in Sussex.
Excellent. So people want to get a little more involved with Norwest Cap, and obviously I am a strong proponent of it since it's where I go every day. Give a call to the office, look on the website. If you want to volunteer even outside of Norwest Cap, we have that information on our Volunteer Resource Center page for RSVP. And our community is stronger when we're more involved together. So, Terry, I thank you for the work that you do in the community at Norwest Cap for being such a strong proponent of an advocate for people that are in poverty, and for being able to show that there is no cookie cutter approach to solving poverty, that we have to do it differently in each community, and we weave our programs and services around the needs in the community.
Thank you, Georgine. And just as a little plug for Georgine, she's the deputy director, and I could absolutely not do the job without her.
Well, thank you, Terry, and thanks for being with us. Now, I hope everyone stays, because we have Ruth Ann Celebration Hour coming on next. And in her description of the guest she was having, the adjective zany was used. So I hope everyone stays with the Hunterdon County Internet Chamber, and we'll be back next week.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida will kick off his presidential campaign in Miami. During remarks to the National Rifle Association, Rubio said security is a top priority.
All these dangers are real. All of them can be overcome. But they cannot be overcome by a government focused more on restricting our law-abiding citizens than on restricting our enemies.
And Rubio is already talking about Democrat Hillary Clinton, who announced her run over the weekend. He said the presidential race should be focused on the future and called Clinton a leader from yesterday.
It is ordered. The defendant shall be incarcerated in the Department of Corrections for the rest of her natural life with no possibility of parole.
That was Sherry Stevens, Phoenix judge, in the sentencing of Jody Arias. The 34-year-old was found guilty of murdering her former boyfriend, Travis Alexander, in 2008 by stabbing him multiple times and shooting him in the head. This is USA Headline News.
Would you wait several days for your cell phone to fully charge? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect?
When
you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
On Monday, Josh Leibarger made his status
Case of the Mondays,
followed by a frowny face. It got one like and five comments, including dislike. Well, Josh, Geico also wants to make a comment to turn that emoji's frown upside down. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. With all that extra dough, why not give Monday a makeover? We see an office party in your future, hosted by you. Hashtag happy face. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
A new report says more flights are late, more bags are getting lost, and customers are lodging more complaints against airlines. On-time travel fell 76.2% last year from 78.4% in 2013, and the rate of lost, stolen, or delayed bags rose 13%.